Saturday morning cartoons. Now it's all these educational kids shows that they show on Saturday mornings. And so we were watching one with the kids, and one was about meteorologists and about the weather and how it's so hard to predict the weather. And how many of us joke that it's amazing that meteorologists can be wrong half of the time and still have a job? Right? Isn't that amazing? Like, I don't know. My local meteorologist said this was going to happen, and this totally didn't at all. And here we are, all excited. And because, again, the weather is wild. Right? Can everybody say wild? Wild, right? And so, again, but isn't our life kind of like the weather sometimes? That we can have big changes in our life, and we experience the unexpected. There are twists and turns. In that show we were watching, they were following tornadoes, right? And those are twisters, right? There's a lot of twists and turns. But the awesome thing is we have a God who is beyond time, yet works in time. We have a God that, again, knows what's going to happen, but yet he allows free will. He allows us to choose this day who we will serve. And he allows our choices to have consequences and things to take place based on those things. But one of the greatest truths that I know about God is that he uses unexpected people to further his purpose in the world. The name of our sermon this morning is Unlikely Heroes. And again, God uses unexpected people to further his purposes in the world. And when we think about this, for clarification, we're not saying that everything that unexpected is from God. We're not saying that. In fact, we know that there is still an enemy. There is evil in this world. There is still bad things that take place, but yet we know that God has intervened in human history, that he continues to intervene, and that he wants to use me and you to do the same. So here in our Joshua series, Joshua has prepped his people to take a step of faith into the promised land. So we begin in Joshua chapter 2, and Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. Joshua doesn't send just anybody, does he? And he doesn't send 12, right? He doesn't send tribes from every, he doesn't send spies from every tribe. He doesn't do a rerun from 40 years ago, right? He sends two spies, and Joshua's looking for a good report. We think of this with Gideon as well and others. Do you think that Joshua was selective in picking those spies? I think so. The text doesn't say, but I believe that he picked men of faith. And as we read together, we're going to notice that they don't necessarily go for tactical information as they go and they spy out the land. But they will go and they'll bring something important back. And point number one this morning is that we need to be selective regarding who we put in positions of influence in our lives. And this is true for kids. This is true for adults. What are you listening to? What are you listening to? What are you watching? Is your music about things that you can't say in church? Then you're not listening to the right voices. Entertainment, guys, has huge influence on our lives. Recently, a friend posted an interview of Mr. Rogers before the Senate, speaking about his work in public broadcasting. And Mr. Rogers, who remembers Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, all right, but they've now done a remake, right? Who knows Daniel Tiger? Raise your hand, Daniel Tiger, all right? And so it's kind of a remake of Mr. Rogers. But Mr. Rogers didn't want kids watching violence over and over. He promoted in his show self-control and love and care. You know, he had such a soothing voice that sometimes I'd watch Mr. Rogers and I'm like, I need a nap. I'm turning on Mr. Rogers, okay? He is just so soothing, right? He's like, won't you be my neighbor? I mean, it's just, it's very soothing, very soothing. But he would promote love and care. He cared about what children watched and what they put into their heart and mind. And that's why he got in public broadcasting. He was actually a minister. And he said, I want to influence the children of the next generation. And so I'm going to give everything I have towards pouring into them through public broadcasting. And if you watch that interview that he has with the Senate, talk about an intense moment, but he's awarded $20 million to go, and then he had a $6,000 budget before. And by the end of that meeting, he had a $20 million budget. Think about that. Think about sometimes when you do the right thing, sometimes you only see a trickle of blessing. But then there are times where you get up against the wire, you're standing before the Senate, and at that time, the president wanted to cut this funding, and instead of being cut, Mr. Rogers was awarded $20 million to go and do, promote love and care and self-control and teach children well, right? So there could be a time in your life when you're just doing things well, and maybe it's just a trickle, and then something explosive happens, something amazing happens, something takes place. Are you living the character of life that when that happens, you're able to contain it and you're able to be a vessel to be used in that situation, in that thing? Because that can happen in your life and in my life. People who are change agents in this world don't allow life to just happen. They're spiritual meteorologists, if you will. They're looking, they're watching, they're observing. You may get it wrong. Hey, you may get it wrong half the time. You'd still have a job with the Weather Channel, okay? So don't feel bad. You may get it wrong, but again, we are to be aware and purposeful, spiritually meteorologists looking at the spiritual weather. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 16, verses 2 and 3, he answered them, when it's evening, you say it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. And here Jesus is talking to spiritual people that are supposed to get it. And he said, you know what? You're missing the biggest sign, and that's me coming into this world, the Messiah. And you're missing it, because you're not spiritually alert and in tune to what God is doing. He says, you got to get it. You got to get it. So my question for you is, do you look for God's signs? Kind of like taking out your spiritual binoculars. And are you looking for God's signs in and through your life? I see God's hand not just in financial outcomes, but in the in-between times when the miracle hasn't yet come. When I tend to see, I look out for God intervening in the situation. And sometimes it's hard to see God before the miracle takes place. But we have to have our eyes looking toward the miracle. I was saying just this morning about Thomas that I believe it was God's intervention that he came up for prayer. I believe it's God's intervention that he saw a specialist. I believe it's God's intervention there. And I'm believing for success for him. And I see God in it, his hand upon Thomas's life. And again, that's the way we've got to see with our spiritual eyes how God is moving even before your miracle happens, before the supernatural thing happens, before the breakthrough happens. How are you looking to find him in the midst of it? In the midst of it. And point number two, we need to have eyes to see God's heroes in the most unlikely of places. So we don't need to just be looking for miracles. We need to be looking at people as the potential miracle of life change that can happen inside of them. And how are we going to pour into their lives when we see people that maybe would have been unlikely heroes? And who is the hero in Joshua chapter 2? Can everybody say Rahab? Yeah, it's Rahab. She was the innkeeper. That's a nice way of putting it, isn't it? She was the innkeeper. The spies stay for the night at Rahab's place, and scripture reads in verse 2, "And it was told to the king of Jericho, 'Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land.' Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out the land.' But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, 'True, the men came to me, but I didn't know where they were from.' And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out, and I don't know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you'll overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order." Sorry, I went a little ahead here. Laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. And the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out." So this is a bit of a hard passage to swallow, right? And because, listen, this immoral person lies telling the king that they left. The two spies had left. And she had, instead had done what? She had hidden them, right, on the roof. And remember this from VBS, guys? Remember when we took out the flax, right? And we laid it on top of you guys and you guys hid underneath it? And so instead of revealing these spies, instead of giving up these spies, she takes out this flax and she hides them. She kind of levels it out and hides these two under it. And so this takes place. She does this here. And let's break this down a little bit. First, non-Christians are going to act like non-Christians. You and I many times want to push behavior modification, don't we, with our kids too? We want them to behave, right? How many times do we say behave, right? Again, we think about that. We want them, and I think about that, but I think about that with people that don't know the Lord. And we want them to toe the line of a Christian, and they haven't made a commitment to Christ yet. And so we've got to treat non-Christians like they are. And instead of trying to get them to not do certain things around us, instead we want a heart transformation. We want a heart transplant, right? Because we believe if their heart changes, then their life is going to change and their behavior will change. And I pray that for us as well, even inside the church, that God would so get a hold of your life that you would be forever changed. Even in the passage, the spy says, "Listen, we're making a serious oath with you, and we know that trust has not been built up yet, and so we will say to you, our life for yours, even to death. If you don't tell this business of ours, when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." So trust has not been built up with Rahab yet. Trust was being built by her act of hospitality, of her housing and freeing them from the enemies. So are we to tell the truth? Yes. Do lies erode trust in relationships? Do they knock down trust? Yeah. The hard part here for me is the deeper takeaway, that there will come a time, guys, in our lives when authorities may ask you to do something that goes against your Christianity. And you have to decide way ahead of time, will you obey God or will you obey men? During the civil rights movement, it was called civil disobedience. I'm going to sit on this bus in this seat no matter what the government tells me. I'm going to have a sit-in at this seat, and although I'm of a different skin, I'm going to sit here, although you're telling me it's illegal. I'm going to do it. And guess what? It changed history in America because people were willing to follow through on civil disobedience where the government, local, federal, otherwise, said you can't do this, and they say it doesn't line up with God's word. and therefore I'm going to act with civil disobedience. Peter and John dealt with this after they preached in the name of Jesus. So they called them, this is the people, the powers that be, called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. What is he saying? He's saying, we already know the right thing to do. So if you have to figure it out, and it takes time for you to figure it out, that's okay. But guess what? We're doing what's right no matter what. We're going to choose the right way even if it's called against the government disobedience. We haven't had to make a lot of those choices in America, but that choice may come more frequently now and in the future. And guess what? In the future is not the time for you to make a line in the sand and go, this is the way I'm going to act. People react in life. But some people, you're like, wow, they reacted really well to that confrontation. Guess what? That wasn't the first time they thought about what could potentially happen. They worked it out in their heart and mind that when somebody screams in my face, I'm not going to scream back. When somebody hits me on the cheek, I'm going to turn the other cheek. Jesus said, if the Romans cause you to walk with them 1 mile, because it was law, then anybody could go, hey, you, come here, Terrain, get up. Get up, all right. You're gonna take all my stuff, and you're gonna have to walk 1 mile. Pick up this stuff, pick it up. And they shout at him, right, and God, take this. God, take it, all right? And walk with me, walk with me. They were required to walk 1 mile. Walk faster, right? And they could boss them around and everything like that. But what did Terrain do? I got to the end of the mile, and Terrain's still walking with me. I'm like, why are you walking with me? Because I want to show you God's love. Because I'm making a choice, right? Even though Pastor John pulled me into this, thank you for that. Can you give a hand to him? Even though I got pulled into this, pun intended, right? I'm going to go the extra mile. And I know I don't have to. This isn't a requirement. I've already fulfilled my legal obligatory nature of this command. But I fulfilled this obligation, and now I'm going to go further. That's what it means to, when one tells you to walk 1 mile, walk the second, is that you actually go above and beyond. So your mom says, hey, I'd like you to clean the dishes. And so you go and clean the dishes, but then you go clean your room as well. That's going above and beyond what was asked of you. And that's the way that Jesus says to handle the law. Go above and beyond with law. Go beyond the law to show my love and my truth. But Peter and John showed civil disobedience. They said, listen, I'm going to do what God's calling me to do. I'm going to do it no matter what you say because God's law is above mine. And at this time, we're going to show a video. It's a really good video. It's a cartoon, but I think all of you are going to be challenged by it. And it's about Corrie Ten Boom and their life. So let's take a look at that. So if you want to watch the rest of that, it's at Right Now Media, and you can go to the Corrie Ten Boom story. But with the Ten Booms, they knew that they couldn't sit idly by, right? They couldn't sit idly by while Jews were being rounded up and stripped of their lives. And so they were God's chosen people, and the Ten Booms said, willfully, we're going to disobey the evil government that is at hand to save these Jews. Why does Rahab do it? If we go, and if you actually look right here, this is a tear out of the wall from the actual, so you can actually go into their home and stand behind there, and some people have taken pictures of the actual physical hiding place there. But why does Rahab do it? In Joshua chapter 2, verse 8, it says, before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, I know that, who? The Lord, meaning master or leader, has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard of it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and the earth beneath. So here Rahab makes a declaration of faith. Also in this declaration of faith, the spies' prayers are answered. This is the spiritual intel that they are looking for. In fact, they will even quote Rahab, the exact words that she said back to Joshua. But listen to me here. There's a lot of times where answered prayers doesn't come when we're the strongest, right? It doesn't come when we're aggressively seeking out spiritual intel throughout the city. It comes when we are trembling under some flax. When we're concerned, are we going to be found? Is she going to give us up? Is this just a game? Because truly, she's going to give in and she's going to have the king's guards and take us away and kill us. That sometimes an answered prayer comes at the most desperate moment and the spiritual intel comes. And they say, we are melting in fear because of the work of the Lord and because what God has done. And this takes place. God answers your prayer sometimes in the most desperate of places. But again, this hero, Rahab, not only saves the spies, but delivers the message that they've been waiting for. And again, the message is from verse 24, and it says, truly, the Lord has given all the land into our hands. This is the spies going back to Joshua. And also, all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us. This isn't heart-melting like, aw, they just gave me a Valentine. This is heart-melting in fear, right? This is, I'm so scared, we're melting in fear. And what's interesting to me is she points out two things, right? She points out the Red Sea. When did that happen? 40 years before, right? 40 years before. And then she mentions about Sihon and Og, which just happened recently. What does that tell me? It tells me this, that old testimonies need to be coupled with new testimonies. That scripture where Jesus healed blind eyes and made the deaf hear and the blind see, that they need to be coupled with today's testimonies of the fact that, again, when I was a baby, I had bacterial meningitis and God healed my body, right? When I was on in Australia in 1997, we were laying hands on a kid that was, well, actually we were in a crusade service, and this guy points to this little girl that couldn't see. And suddenly the blind saw right in front of my eyes that God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And we need to couple old testimonies that are about 40 years old, your grandparents are telling them, with your testimonies of what God just did this year or is going to do soon, right? That God is the same yesterday. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants to do miracles in our lives. And so as we wrap up today, I want to look at a couple of things that what the Bible says outside of Joshua about Rahab. It says this, and in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Right? If I was to take your spirit out of your body, Sean, what would happen? What would happen? You die, right? You die. As a spirit is apart from the body, faith without works is dead. And Rahab showed, not just in her declaration that I believe in God by saying it to those people, but she did it. She showed she was saved by protecting the spies and by releasing them at the right moment, right? What else does the Bible say about her? Well, we know also in Matthew chapter 1 that she's in the line of Jesus. Talk about somebody you might not want to mention in your past, like, yeah, my great-great-grandmother, let's not talk about her. she's got a scantily clad past, all right? She's got a bad past. She's in there, right? God put Rahab in the line of Jesus. How amazing is that? Then what else do we know? We know in Hebrews 11:31, by faith Rahab the prostitute didn't perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. But what happened in this? My cord is very small. You probably wouldn't lower somebody with this cord. That would probably snap, right? So the cord was much thicker, right? But remember that she let the Israelites down. She let the spies down by a red cord, right? And they were lowered by rope out of the window down to safety. And so, guys, you know, I think about Jericho, and we're going to talk about Jericho in coming weeks. But I think about Jericho, and people say, what an amazing miracle that, you know, that the Lord knocked all those walls down. You know what I think is a personal miracle? That her house was in the wall. And yet when the walls came down, the earthquake came to shake the place, however God did it, but shook the whole wall, that it crumbled. There wouldn't just be a red cord hanging out of a window. There would still be a window to hang the red cord out of. That when everything around you is shaken, when your whole world is shaken around you, Jesus is that red cord that you can hold on to. That when all things fall, when you obey the Lord and bring your family into your home and you keep the promises that God called you to keep, like Rahab, and she tossed that red cord out there, that red cord, why do you think the cord was red? Yes, Bella. Representing his what? His blood, right? That I think about that the red cord, the crimson red cord, we think about the fact that the blood of Jesus is what makes us get out of the window. For the spies not to see us. I told the kids, you guys remember this story during VBS that I talked about how Grace Yang, she's a really close friend of my parents, and she would go to China and she'd smuggle Bibles in there. And one time she was smuggling Bibles and they were going to open her suitcase. And she would have gotten serious trouble. And she began to pray, just like Corrie Ten Boom, oh, Jesus, help me. The whole power in the airport shut down for about 3 minutes. And then it came back up and they said, go, 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 go. And they just pushed her luggage on. My God is a God that can turn off power and turn it back on. My God has the power, but he can also take away power from evil ones that seek to bind us and to hurt us, right? And if we'll stand in faith and we'll step up and step out, as this Joshua series is all about, we will see God's hand, a hand of protection, a hand that keeps us from being shaken when everything else is, a hand that tells us when to step out and to say, government, although you say this, I'm operating by God's word. And this is how I'm going to live. I'm going to live for the cross. And like Voice of the Martyrs and that movie that's going to be coming out in March, there are people that are living that way daily with the pressures of this world, and they're standing up boldly for their faith. Would you pray with me? And I'm going to invite you, as you bow your heads with me. One is for salvation, that Jesus calls us and he gives us this red cord. And he says that if anyone would come, it's whoever believes in me would not perish but have an everlasting life. He says, I want to give you this cord of salvation for eternity. Because without the spirit inside of you and your spirit's removed from your body ceases to exist. It corrodes. It goes in the ground and it turns into dirt. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But when you receive me, there's eternity. There's eternity promise, and I want to take the time that if you want to pray that prayer with me, would you raise your hand? And you're saying, I want to receive Jesus into my heart. I want to make him the Lord and Savior of my life. And the second call that I want to make to you is this, that you need more boldness and you're praying for God to give you eyes to see unexpected heroes, I'm raising my hand. That God, you would give me eyes to see unexpected heroes, and that you would give us the courage to be that unexpected hero, like the Corey Ten Booms and the Rahabs and those others. That as I raise up my hand, and I encourage you to do the same, you're saying to Jesus, Jesus, give me the boldness that I need to be courageous for you. Lord God, strengthen me on the inside. Help me to be bold for you. And I believe that God's going to answer that prayer. And that he will and he does. We thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for empowering us, giving us the ability. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we dismiss, I really encourage you, I'd like to know, just if you could shoot me an email or a Facebook message, if you're using Right Now Media in any way, shape, or form, which we've invited you to, if you're not on it, again, we'll get your email address and get you on it. But not only does it have the torchlighters like you saw, but it has other Christian Bible study type stuff and all kinds of available material there. And so I want to know if you're using it, right? We're doing the expense for it. We want to know if you're using it and you're seeing stuff take place from that. So if you could just shoot me some kind of quick communication, say, hey, I've used it. I really enjoy it. If you're like, Right Now Media, what are you talking about? Please talk to me about that so we can connect you. All right? Well, God bless you guys, and may you have a wonderful week. God bless.